Praise God. You realize we're supposed to just keep coming up in life. We're not supposed to go down. We don't really have an excuse for going down. We don't have an excuse for having down days. And somebody tells you, well, you know, just sometimes it's just everybody runs into them. You have to have a down day. That's not true. Now, you can have a down day, but you didn't have to. You know, it's just it all comes down to what we yield to. We can yield to the Word, or we can yield to what's around us in our flesh. And this world will pull on you, you know, as you go into the world, if you go to work, if you go on the highway, it tries to push you. It just tries to pull the life out of you, and you have to push against it. You have to not in your own self, don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand me, but you have to look to God and what He says and that His Word's true. Or else you'll just like we've talked about, if you go into any kind of a body of water with any kind of current and you just stand there, it's going to try to push you, right? And this world is like that. If you just think you're going to stand still and not have to make any effort, and you'll just stay full of joy and you'll stay, that won't happen. You have to push against it. Like I said, not in your own strength, but you have to do something. You have to take God at His Word. Because this world is under a curse. We're not under a curse, thank God, because of Jesus, but the world is. So you got to take the Word and you got to apply it to your life. We have to apply the Word to our lives. Nobody else can do it for you or me. We realize that? We'll get into it. Go ahead, turn over to Romans 10. We've been in a series called Healing in Our Words, and we're just going to read from here, and then I'm going to turn over to Mark as well, and then we'll go a little further. So go ahead and turn over to Romans 10, and then just go ahead and find Mark 11. We'll read these two. I know we use these from time to time, but especially what we're talking about here, about our words, these are important. Thank the Lord. Everybody there? So Romans 10 and Mark 11. Everybody there? Yeah. Go to Romans 10. In Romans 10, verse 8, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." So where does the word needs to be? In your mouth, and it needs to be in your heart. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is how we're saved. We believe in our heart and we confess it with our mouth. We speak it out our mouth. Faith is released through words. Faith is released through words. Go ahead and turn over to Mark 11, 22. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will come, or says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Jesus said, "For assuredly," surely, truthfully, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," he's looking at, you know, a mountain out in the distance, "be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So you release your faith through your words. You can believe in your heart, but you need to release it through your words. And that's what we've been talking about in concerning healing and how our words relate to healing. I mean, this is a general principle to apply to anything, but we're just focusing on healing. Words are so important. I'm going to read a few of the scriptures that, and maybe we'll turn to some of them, but I'm going to read you some of these we've read recently. Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Our tongues are very powerful. We release death or we release life through our tongue. You believe it? This is the Word of God. You don't have to even think too hard about it. You understand when you walk into a room where harsh words have been spoken, or you're in a room where harsh words are being spoken, does that release death? It absolutely does kill the atmosphere. On the other hand, you could have a situation that doesn't look good in the natural, and you speak the Word of God, or somebody comes in the room and speaks encouragement, speaks life, speaks the Word, and life is released in that room. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's a force. They aren't just words. They contain power. They contain power one way or another. Words have the power to build up. They have the power to destroy. You can destroy somebody's, tear down somebody's life with words. We've all experienced the sting of words when used wrongly. That's death. You know, parents have tremendous, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, or parents, we as parents or our parents, I mean, they can release death or life into a child's life, right? The words that are said, or a teacher or any authority figure, you can release life into somebody's life or the child or not, but you know, children are especially moldable. Saying somebody could be struggling and not having a great time in school or in sports or anything, and life, the Word of God, could be released into that person's life and change them forever, change the direction of their life. Because words are so important. What we say releases life or death. We know this naturally, but somehow as people get to the Word of God, there's people that say, well, that's not really true. I mean, we know words do that, but they don't really have a real effect on things. Oh, yeah, they do. The universe came into existence by God speaking. He said, let there be light. And light was. Jesus over and over would speak to situations. We saw just now in Mark 11, he spoke to the fig tree. This is after he spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to it and cursed it, and it died. You say that was Jesus. He just said, whoever says to the mountain. After this, he taught and said, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. Because his disciples were in awe and said, Master, the tree you cursed, the fig tree you cursed, it's dead. It withered up. And he said, yeah. And then he said what we just read. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he will have what? Just anything? Whatever he says. That's Jesus. Brother Hagin didn't write that. Kenneth Copeland didn't write it. Andrew Womack didn't write it. It's been around for a long time. They've emphasized it as teachers of the Word of God, but it's Jesus saying it, and it's not the only scripture in the Bible. We just read a couple of them. Proverbs 18:21, Matthew 12:37 says, for by the words, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is a sobering thought, but we're going to answer for the words we speak. Now, I'm not saying there's not forgiveness. There's not cleansing, but we don't really have the luxury of speaking idle words. Amen. We really don't. Our life, they're short, and we don't need to be just spouting off saying things that we don't mean. If we don't mean it, we shouldn't say it. Now, don't get legalistic about it. Don't, especially, you don't have to be the word police with your family or... around other people. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, that's between them and God. But we ought to come up. We ought to know we continue our coming up. And just because you say something you didn't mean, just go over, repent of it. And like we were saying last week, don't get legalistic about it. We're talking about words you mean. It doesn't mean you should just misuse words, but don't get legalistic about it. And especially, you know, you don't need to correct everybody else around you. That's between them and God, especially if they're not asking. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one thing about people, they don't usually want correction even when they're asking for it. Even when somebody says, you know, now, if you have something to tell me, and then you tell them, they don't really want to hear it. They don't. We don't. Well, I'm in a good place. I'm ready. Just tell me. And then you get told, you're like, it's not what I was expecting. And you did go defensive, huh? No, we don't really want to hear it, even when we say we want to hear it. We really don't want to hear it when we're not asking for it. We're just going by our business, and we say something, and somebody says, well, you shouldn't say it. I wasn't looking for that. You don't want to hear it, do you? You don't want to be corrected when you're not asking for it, so why do we think somebody else wants to be corrected? Just a thought. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever watches his mouth, I'm going to look over there, 21:23, because it says it different. You can go ahead and turn over there, Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Talked about this a little bit last week. If we'll guard our mouth, what does that mean? It means you watch what comes out of it, right? It doesn't mean you have to, like again, you don't have to be legalistic, but you ought to watch it, you ought to give it thought. When it says guard your mouth, it doesn't mean, we're on Proverbs 21:23. It doesn't mean be real loose with your mouth. We ought to care what comes out of our mouths. We ought to care and be concerned with what we're saying, especially when you are tempted to be, you know, you're pushed in your flesh, you're pushed in your mind. That's when you really have to watch what comes out of your mouth. Because it really, your tongue is a rudder. My tongue is a rudder. The Bible says the tongue directs our lives. It's especially when we're under pressure, we need to watch what's coming out of our mouth. Because if we'll guard it, the Bible says we keep our soul from troubles. I want to read Proverbs 12:18. You might as well, if you're in 21, you might as well turn over to 12. It's not that far. Proverbs 12, verse 18. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. There is one that speaks as the piercings of a sword. Words can be daggers. Words can be swords, but they can also bring life. It says, the tongue of the wise promotes health. It creates health. It promotes health. So what we say is so important. And it's important when it has to do with our body and our strength and our health, which is what we're focusing on. So we read in Mark 11, it says, you'll have whatever we say. We'll have whatever we say. Faith is released through words. It's so with salvation, and it's so with healing. We release, we become born again when we say, when we confess the Lord Jesus, and you will stay strong if you confess Jesus. If you'll say, I believe, even if everything else looks bad, if you say, I believe Jesus, I believe He's the Son of God, I believe I'm going to see Him soon. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean soon God time. If that's 100 years, it's soon. Huh? God is not in a hurry. So you're going to see Him. No matter what's going on now, if you just say, well, I'm going to see Jesus soon. Pretty soon I'm going to be in heaven. This is all going to be over. That'll pick up your step. Huh?
Yes.
If you'll just confess your belief in Jesus. Well, I don't know about all this, but I know God is real, and I know His Son came and died for me, and I believe He died on that cross for me, and there is nothing between God and myself. See, if you'll confess what you know is true by the Bible, it'll pick us up. That's health. That's the tongue of the wise. But we release our faith through words. That's how we became saved, and with healing, if we'll say what the Bible says and release our faith through our words and say words of health and healing, we'll be strengthened. We don't look at how we feel. Well, I just don't feel like it today. Well, I don't feel like it's a good day. My body's not feeling well. Don't, if we say that, the Bible said we're going to have what we say. You don't want, if you're feeling weak, you surely don't need to feel weaker. What do you need to feel if you feel weak? You need to be strong. So according to these verses, what do we need to say? How weak I am? Oh, I feel so weak. How is that going to help you? According to what we've read, what's going to happen if you say how weak you are? You're going to get weaker. There's no strength in that. Your body doesn't need to hear how weak you are. It needs to hear strength. You need to put the law. We need to put the laws of God into practice, especially when we feel weak, especially when your body is challenging you. That's the time we need to say the word. It's not like, well, I wonder why it's not working. Who said it's not working? Who said it's not true? That's exactly when we need to confess the Bible. Amen. And say what the Bible says. Yep. And believe it. Because if we believe what we're talking about tonight, that the word of God is life and health, and that we release our faith through our words, we need it. We need it when we need it. You don't, when everything's going sunshiny, you still need to confess the word. But it's especially when things don't look like it. Well, if you're having a challenge in your body, which is what we're focusing on here, your words mean everything. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, which one do I want in my body? You could say sickness and health are in the power of the tongue. Because sickness is death. And health is life. When you think of something that's healthy and vibrant, just think about some fruit, you know, or a fruit tree. You don't think of something that's all withered. If you're singing healthy and vibrant, you don't think of something that's all withered, you know, no fruit, gray, no leaves, huh? That's death. What would you say if you saw a tree that's all not producing any green, just gray, brittle? What would you say? Could be dead. See, that's death. But you see something that's full of life and bearing fruit, that's health. Well, it's the same thing. So you say death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're not doing it any injustice to say sickness and health are in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue? My tongue. Your tongue. See, people make too much of what other people say. What other people say can affect you, but it only affects you or me if we let it. It can't actually affect us directly unless we let it. Just let that sink in. Yep. Do we understand that? Yep. In other words, some people are just so concerned somebody's going to curse them or somebody's going to say something bad or make the bad confession. They're going around saying, oh, I got to break that part. That's not going to happen to me. You don't have to worry about that. Somebody says something, I got to break that confession over. That's not, they go to the doctor. Not, I'm not making fun of anybody, okay? If you've done it, don't worry about it. I'm not pointing fingers, okay? We don't have to be afraid. If somebody says something, the doctor said, you don't have to be, you especially don't have to tell the doctor he's wrong. It's not in good taste to go to the doctor and he tells you what's wrong. And you say, well, I don't believe that in Jesus' name. Well, don't. You don't have to tell him that. Why are you there? If you didn't need the doctor, why did you go? And then he's going to give you his professional opinion, and you're going to say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then don't go. You're paying the man or woman money, and then you're going to go and turn it in their face and say something? You know, like I know Keith Morta says, you know, people go into the doctor, and he says, now, where do you hurt? I don't hurt anywhere in the name of Jesus. Yeah. He pokes him. Is it hurt there? I have no pain in Jesus' name. Don't do it again. Well, what are you there for? The guy, the person is trying to ascertain what's wrong with you. That's not the time to make a good confession. That's the time to be honest and say, that hurts, don't do it again. Yes, that hurts. If the man says, well, I believe this is what you have, well, I rebuke that confession. No, that's not what you want to say. You don't need to be afraid of him declaring something over you. He's diagnosed, because whose report are we going to believe? You already have a report. It's in the Word of God. He or she's just telling you what they see from their training. It looks like you have this. And the Bible does not say to deny symptoms. It does not say to call those things that are as though they aren't. It does not say that. That's not the same thing as calling those things that are not as though they were, that be not as though they were. Those are two different things. You guys are giving me looks. Do you realize those are different things? You do not have to say, I don't have any pain. I don't have any pain. And you have pain. I don't have any pain. What are you doing? You're calling those things that are as though they aren't. But what are you hearing constantly? Pain. Pain. You're hearing pain. But what if you say, I'm strong. I'm free. What are you hearing? I'm strong. I'm free. See, you're calling those things that be not as though, because you don't feel strong. You don't feel free. Pain. You don't have to talk about the pain all the time. And if the doctor says you have pain, you have a certain thing, you don't have to say, no, I don't. Well, if that's the diagnosis, you're not claiming it. Acknowledge what's there and now act on the Word of God that says that may be there, but in spite of that, I'm calling my body healthy. See, I'm going to say I'm healthy when, yeah, it looks like I have this. But just because the doctor says something about you does not mean you have to break the power of those words. Because the only way that's going to have any power over you is if you accept it and you start agreeing with it. See, too many people are taking what, the way we're talking, we support the medical profession and doctors, but they're not God. And those that are wise know that. And know they're limited in knowledge and know that their word is not final. It's just where we are as a human race. We understand certain things, but it's not all knowledge. It's partial knowledge. So because somebody, just because they say the report is this, does not mean you have to accept it. See, some people are saying, believe with me that I have a good report. Well, what if you had a bad report? Does that change the Word of God? See, and what they're hinging on is if the tests come back positive or negative, or whichever one's the bad one in this case, because it'd be positive or negative, depends on what you're talking about, then my faith is on that report coming back. Well, that's not faith. You're hoping that the report comes. Well, what if the report's negative? What, does that mean the Word of God doesn't mean anything? The Word of God existed before that report was ever coming forth, before you went in to get the test done. Huh?
Yes.
So just, you don't put your faith in, well, this test has got to, I just believe in God that this test is coming back positive. No, because what you're doing is, if the medical profession declares it healed or declares it right, then I'm going to believe it. See, we need to be in mode of, regardless of what this is, I'm fine anyway. Regardless of what the report comes back, I'm healed. I'm whole.
Amen.
And if it comes back, well, praise God. Anyway, I believe God. You don't have to throw it in the technician's face. And we don't have to throw it in your doctor and say, well, I don't accept that. He's not asking you to accept it, or he's just reporting. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. Amen. This is where we live. We don't have to get uptight about what's said. You don't have to correct. See, that's based in fear. You don't have to correct everything around you and everybody has to say the right thing, because they're not. Right. You work in some professions or jobs, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff you do not want to hear. Yeah. Pretty much anywhere. Yeah. If you're surrounded by, well, Christians, non-Christians, all kinds of Christians say the wrong thing, unbelievers say the wrong thing. If you think you're going to sanitize your environment all the time, you're going to have a tough life. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You can't control what other people say. We can't control other people, and you can't take authority over people. Right. Do you get that?
Yes.
Bible does not tell you know that's witchcraft? Yep. The devil tries to control people. The devil tries to make people do stuff. God does not. He has the power, but he doesn't. We can't. And we shouldn't try. We cannot control people. See, a lot of times that's fear. It's afraid of what somebody else might do to me. It's a lack of understanding of who we are and what we have in Jesus. Because if we realize nobody can make me do anything, nobody can make me take anything unless I allow it. Right. So like people in this like in our society will poo-poo these things, but you know, like witch doctors in other cultures and things, those are real, by the way, and they do have power. It's satanic, but they do have power. But the only reason they have power is because people believe them.
Right.
I mean, it's real power, but they can't just throw a curse on you and it do something to you unless you're afraid of it, unless you believe it can do something. Mm-hmm. If you say, because the Bible says the curse causeless will not alight, will not come. And the Bible says you have the greater one inside of you. You can curse me all day long. God's blessed. And the Bible says, you know what? God has blessed. You can't curse. Are we blessed as a children of God or not?
Yes.
So we don't have to be afraid of somebody cursing you. Somebody saying, see, that's a, you may say, well, I'm not afraid of a witch doctor. Yeah, but it's the same thing. If you're afraid of a doctor or somebody at work pronouncing something negative over you, it's the exact same thing. You are afraid of somebody cursing you. And you think it can have power on you. So you got to break it. That's not an understanding of the word. What we have to understand is you can curse me all day long, but it's not going to do anything unless I believe it. And I don't believe it. I believe you're powerless. I believe that I'm protected by the greater one. There is no power greater than God. So that's the attitude we need to get. It's not arrogance. It's just boldness. We need to be bold about what God has done for us. And we need to believe, we're talking about words. We're talking about other people's words, that those words don't have any power over us. Our words have power over us. So this is totally different if you start cursing yourself. You start saying you're stupid. You start saying you can't do anything. You start saying this thing's going to kill you and believing it. Yeah, then you're putting yourself in the grave. That's a different thing. And if you did believe what somebody else said, you said, well, I guess they said it. That's it. Well, then you just agreed with them. Now their words became your words. Your words are what are going to fly. See, they don't have a power unless you start believing. Somebody could say the most negative thing about you at work. You know, you're inept, you're incompetent, you're stupid, you can't ever do your work right. It doesn't affect you unless you start saying, well, I guess they're right. They know better than me. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't do it. See, now their words have become your words, and they will affect you, and you'll start going down. You'll find yourself, you can't do anything around those people. But we need to be bold and say, I don't care who's around me. Whether the people don't think highly of me at all, I can still perform fine. Think about Jesus. Jesus had the Pharisees just as close as you and me are from, you and I are apart. And they didn't like him. They were just like scowling at him. And yet he preached. And he saw miracles. And he had people that hated him in the front row. That says something. You know, we don't need to get it all saying, no, I can't have anybody around me that doesn't like me. I just can't operate. Well, you know, that's not Bible. Look at Paul. Somebody's always trying to kill him. He would just get up and go to the next synagogue and preach again. They're ready to kill him. Bring him out, stone him, gets up, and goes on, preaches some more. But my point is, our words are going to fly. Our words are what is dictating the direction of our life. So we can just get rid of the fear that somebody else is going to say something and, oh no, it's going to take us down. It can't without our permission. Mm-hmm. Right. So what we need to focus on is what are we saying And when it comes to our bodies, what are we saying about our bodies? Don't worry so much about the report. Don't worry so much about what other people are saying, whether it's somebody in your family. I mean, nobody likes to hear, oh, well, you're not looking too well. But, you know, you can get past it. Get away from it if you have to, but you don't have to, again, throw it in people's face. Don't say that. See, that's showing that we believe that they have power over us. We got to make sure that we're putting the word in more than anything else is trying to take it out of us, trying to steal, because it will try to drain you. I'm not saying it won't try, but it can't unless we allow it to. That's the point. If we just get off by ourselves and say, no, God's word's true. God's word is working in me. His power is working in me. My body's healthy and strong. My body is healed. It functions normally. It functions well. That's life. Sometimes you have to balance and you have to counter the death that somebody else is saying with life. Just know what you're countering is not their words directly. It's countering those words from affecting you so you don't start speaking death, because that's when it'll have an effect. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we said that we are saved by confessing the word, we are healed by confessing the word, that we release our faith through what we say. But we need to release what's in our heart that we've put in with the word of God. We need to release it through our mouth, and we need to maintain that. We need to learn how to speak positive, not positive in the sake of, well, I'm just going to speak positively, positive in the sense of speaking the word. We need to learn to do that consistently out of our mouth and speak healing, because we will not maintain healing unless we learn to do this. It is impossible to walk in health and have a negative words coming out of your mouth all the time concerning healing. In other words, you cannot be saying, I'm getting weak. I can't walk. My organs are failing, and walk and divide. Because you will put this law into practice. And even if somebody gets healed by a manifestation of the Spirit, they will lose it unless they know how to do this. Mm-hmm. If you ever wonder why, and I've seen it even recently. You see somebody get healed by a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, it wasn't their faith that got them healed. It was a moving of the Spirit, and they got healed. And some people are looking for that. Well, if I could just get somewhere and get prayed for and get this taken care of, that's not the end of it, because Satan is persistent. And if those symptoms come back and people do not know how to resist and do not know how to speak the word, they'll say, well, and this happens all the time, they're healed, it's gone, they don't have any symptoms, and then a symptom will appear, and they say, well, I guess I didn't get healed. What did they just say? And what happens? They say it, they dictate it with the words of their mouth. I guess I didn't get healed. I guess it wasn't permanent. I only thought it. And that thing comes back. And they say, well, I don't know what happened. It was just temporary. This is what happened. So regardless, we need to know what to do. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just can't do that. That's not true.
Right.
I just can't help it. That's not true.
Right.
It may feel like we can't help it, but God did not tell us how to use our mouth and we have no ability to control it.
Right.
It may feel very hard. It may feel like we have gone, you know, we are creatures of habit.
Yes.
And if you've said the wrong thing over and over and over, and you're used to speaking a certain way, And when some certain thing happens in your life, you're used to reacting a certain way, or I'm used to reacting in a certain way. When a certain button gets pushed, you react this way because you saw your mom react that way, or you saw your dad, or you just picked it up on your own, or you watched some TV show, thought it was cute to imitate it, but now you do that all the time, and you like to change it, but that's just how you operate. And people think they can't change it because it feels like you can't change it. Because you feel like it's involuntary when in fact it's just learned and can be unlearned. Yes. With the power of God, we can say, when you feel like saying one thing, you can say the right thing. And the more you say the right thing, it'll get rid of that wrong thing. And pretty soon you're saying the right thing and that's displaced the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. But we can do what we're talking about. We can change our mouths to line up with the Word of God. We can speak health. And we can speak health, and even in the face of symptoms that are pressing down on us hard. Mm-hmm. We can still speak the Word of God. We can use the power that's inside of us, because who do we have inside of us? We have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, if we believe that, we can choose to yield to Him and choose to start speaking words out that are life and health, and say, Lord, you're in me. Your power is working in me. My body is strong. My body is healthy. And all the while, it can feel completely the opposite of what you're saying. But why are you saying it? Because you want what you're saying, not what you have. See, some people think that's weird. But it's actually pretty logical. You are saying the thing that you need to see in your life, not the thing you have. Because you direct, your body will listen to what you say. So people think it's weird to say, I'm strong, when you're weak. But what do you need when you're weak? You need strength. So you're calling those things that be not as though they were. So you say, I'm healed. See, people say, well, it's weird to say you're healed when you're obviously sick. Why are you saying I'm healed? That's why I'm saying I'm healed, because I'm sick. It'd be like this. So I don't have a dog. I used to have a dog when I was growing up, but I don't have one now. I have two birds. So I don't need to call them. But let's say you had a dog. And my dog, when we were growing up, was Muffy.
Aww.
It was a mutt. It had some pug in there and had a curly tail and had a little bit short nose, but not total pug. You know, just is a mix. Little dog. And we go out, and some Muffy, we lived in a cul-de-sac, and Muffy would go and run around like up the street or something, up the road in the cul-de-sac. We wouldn't know where Muffy is. We'd go out there, Muffy! Muffy! Eventually, Muffy would come running. But if I'm out there yelling for Muffy, somebody goes, why are you yelling for your dog? Well, because I want the dog to come here. But your dog's not here. That's why I'm calling it. That's why I'm calling her, because she's not here. Yeah, but she's not here. Why would you say, you know, Muffy, when your dog is not here? She's not beside you. Why you say Muffy? Because I want her to be here. Yeah, but she's not here. Why would you call her? Because she's not here. I want her to be here. So, but when you say I'm healed, you say, well, why are you saying you're healed? You're not healed. That's why I'm saying it. Because I need to see it in my body, and it's not here. The Bible says to call those things that be not as though they were. Huh? Why is that weird? We do it all the time in the natural. We do stuff, we say, well, I have this. Well, you don't have it. You just ordered it. It's going to be there in 2 days. 2 day shipping. I press the button. It's mine. No, it's not. It's not here. You don't see it. No, it's coming. You'll see it. Well, you don't have it. That's weird. No, it's not. I'll show you the receipt. I have an email right here. It's coming. See? It's an order confirmation. It's coming. So it'd be no later than Thursday. Well, that's weird. That's not weird. People do it every day. Thousands of times, if not millions. Mm-hmm. It's not weird. Our mouth is a rudder. Our mouth is say what we say is going to come. So when we speak healing, it's gotta manifest. We keep saying it. Where we run into trouble is we let go of that and we start saying the negative thing. We start saying, well, I don't know why it's, and we just go off. We're commanding that and calling that. We say, I already have it. Well, it's not going to change. Amen.